Hello. Hello again. No? Really? The Cars? Hello again? 1984, I think it was. I thought it was a clever way to start things off. Hey, and welcome back to the Insert Clever and Witty Name Here podcast. My name is Mike, and I apologize for the singing. Apparently that did not go over as well as I thought it would when I rehearsed it just moments ago. So before I get to what I always like starting these off with in our 45 minutes or so together, what we celebrate today on Monday, May 3rd, a day before...
May the 4th be with you.
Day. My James Earl Jones is Darth Vader. Speaking of the Cars, that actually is the name of the group, the Cars, which you're probably thinking, well, duh, I knew that. I say that because I came across this article last week at loudwire.com, which, you know, being I do what I do for a living, doing my mornings with Mike Pesto on the new My 97.5 every morning, you would think that I would know the name of all the groups that we play. You would think. I came across this article, loudwire.com, 32 bands that don't actually have the in their names. In other words, they would prefer you drop the and just refer to them as, for example, Bee Gees. Apparently, this is true. Back in the day, they preferred to be simply referred to as Bee Gees, not the Bee Gees. I have a duo on here as well, the Carpenters. I'm sorry. Carpenters, yeah. They didn't like to be referred to as the Carpenters, just Carpenters. The one that really surprised me, it's just going to take some adjusting when I play them every morning, is Eagles. Yeah, apparently, again, they would prefer to simply be Eagles, not the Eagles. In fact, I found this soundbite from Steve Martin, who was talking with his friend at the time before he passed away, Glenn Frey, about the name of the group and the way Steve Martin kind of retells the story before they formed as a group. He's saying, yeah, I think we're going to call ourselves Eagles. Oh, man. Steve Martin would say, yeah, that's sounds like a great name. The Eagles. He said, no. Eagles. Oh, no, I got it. The Eagles. No. You're not the Eagles, just Eagles. Oh, yeah, I prefer the Eagles better. That's according to Steve Martin, how the conversation went. And I would venture to guess most people think of them as the Eagles, but all things being equal, they prefer Eagles. There is one group, now this is an artist that we don't play, but even they're a little confused as to how you should refer to them. Red Hot Chili Peppers. I've heard it both ways. Both ways sound fine, but they apparently now prefer Red Hot Chili Peppers. And I say now because there have been no less than 5 albums from Red Hot Chili Peppers that have the Red Hot Chili Peppers. There was an album in 1984, 1985, 87, 88, and 95, all Red Hot Chili Peppers with the. But they would prefer henceforth to be referred to simply as Red Hot Chili Peppers, not the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Anything else? That was just a bonus. I comped you that one. That was a little freebie. So again, welcome to the podcast. I appreciate you spreading the word. You can find us everywhere. You can find podcasts again, except on Google Podcasts, because this is my line in the sand a moment. Google Podcasts are the only ones that demand that you have a Google email address to post on their site, which their site, their rules, that's fine, but I don't, and I'm not going to create a Google email address just so I could have my podcast on their platform. So you could always find these every single week at podomatic.com and everywhere else podcasts can be found except for on Google. So again, today is Monday, May 3rd. Today we're celebrating Garden Meditation Day, which the first thing I thought of when I saw that this morning and talked about it a little on the air is my wife has a little side garden in our side yard. I can just imagine her in the side yard later this afternoon on a yoga mat. And doing a little meditating. She's gardening. I don't know, other than the expulsion of air that then the plants will take in. I don't know what that actually does for the garden itself, but today is Garden Meditation Day. I would add one caveat to that. Make sure if you are going to observe Garden Meditation Day, you do it in your garden, not your neighbors necessarily. It's also Great Lakes Awareness Day. Now, I was born in the Midwest, in Arlington Heights, Illinois, which is just outside of Chicago. In fact, there's talk, and I read this morning, this is how close Arlington Heights is to Chicago, that Soldier Field, where the Chicago Bears play, and I'm a huge Bears fan, having grown up in the Midwest, lived there until I was 16. There is talk because Soldier Field is the smallest NFL stadium in the league. 61,000 fans, I believe, is max capacity. That's including standing room only. It's a small stadium, but it's downtown right on the lakefront. Beautiful stadium, which they remodeled a few years ago. It looks a little weird now. It looks like a UFO touched down in Old Soldier Field, which was a beautiful park. But they would obviously like to be able to get more fans in there. So Arlington Heights has said, hey, you know, we have this racetrack that we're going to demolish, and we'd be more than happy to have you guys call Arlington Heights home. And the mayor of Chicago came out recently and said, yeah, no, it's not going to happen. The Chicago Bears are not going to move out of Chicago. It's a little naive. The San Francisco 49ers haven't played a game in San Francisco for quite a while now. They're the Santa Clara 49ers. And that's not the most egregious one. There's the New York Jets and the New York Giants. Both of those teams don't even play in the state of New York. They play technically all of their home games in New Jersey. So to think that the Chicago Bears at some point can't possibly move to a suburb of Chicago is a little naive. But so that's where I grew up. Actually born in Arlington Heights and then grew up in a town called, as I'm blanking on the name, I didn't live there all that long, Buffalo Grove. And I also lived in Island Lake and Huntley and Crystal Lake and a handful of cities outside of the Chicagoland area. But I did live there from the day I was born until 1986. So I saw Great Lakes Awareness Day this morning. I thought, I got this. Well, first of all, it's easy because to celebrate Great Lakes Awareness Day, all you have to do is be aware of the fact that there are Great Lakes. Okay, you got that? Ding, give yourself a point. Now, how many Great Lakes are there? And give yourself a point for every one that you know exists. There's five. So five Great Lakes. So you have a total of 6 points now, if you got that right. Now, for 2 points each, can you name all five of those? I thought, I got this. Again, I lived there for up until my junior year of high school. So I'm thinking on the air this morning, okay, I know there's Lake Michigan, because that's the one that borders right by Chicago. So Lake Michigan, Lake Superior, how could you forget that one? Lake Erie, Lake Huron. I even said on the air, Lake Huron, that's the one everyone forgets. And then I completely blanked on the last lake. And thank goodness that Lillian, who lives in Visalia, called me on it. She said, you forgot Lake Ontario. Yes, those crazy Canucks with their Lake Ontario. So that's all five. Again, Lake Michigan, Lake Superior, Lake Erie, Lake Huron, and let's not forget about Canada's contribution to it all, Lake Ontario. So that is our little celebration of Great Lakes Awareness Day. It's also National Rumpy Lug. I did not get much sleep last night. National Lumpy Rug Day, not Rumpy Lug Day. That's something else completely different. Yeah, National Lumpy Rug Day, which it's better to have a lumpy rug, meaning there's something underneath it, than to have dogs and find a lump of something on top of the rug. Ain't that right, puppies? They're asleep on the futon here in the room with me. A couple other things I noted this morning. Today is National Two Different Colored Shoes Day. Now, in previous years, I've actually celebrated that one time, famously, with a flip-flop on one foot and a dress shoe with dress socks on the other. And it's a great psychological experiment to see how many people even notice that you're wearing two different types of shoes, to say nothing of having two different colored shoes. And I don't recall anyone said anything to me that day. Now, it's me, so they may have just thought, oh, it's just Mike being Mike again, and I'll just go with that. I'd like to think that they were observant enough to notice that I had two different colored shoes and two completely different forms of footwear. That was like 3 or 4 years ago. But I forgot this morning, and actually I hadn't even looked to see what we celebrate today until I got into the station about 5 o'clock or so this morning. So I missed out on celebrating National Two Different Colored Shoes Day, but hopefully you are celebrating. And finally, today is Paranormal Day. I came across something that I found rather interesting when I saw that this morning. Now, this is from Fox News, from a survey that they reported on from 2018. According to this survey, a study of 2,000 people found that most people have a stronger connection to the paranormal than one might think. 60% of those studied, the 2,000 who were asked, said that they swore in their life they had seen a ghost. And in addition to the 60% that swore that they've seen a ghost, they were fairly certain, 40% said that their dog had seen a ghost. Hey, puppies, have you ever seen a ghost? They are not responding to me whatsoever. I want to believe. I truly do. I think I do. But I'm also one of those people that show me the facts. Show me something tangible. Give me the evidence. I want to see it for myself. I want to touch it. I want to have that experience. I've had weird things happen. But I've never actually seen a ghost. The oddest thing I think that happened, and I explained this away, and I was the one that happened too, and I still explained it away. Years ago, when my former morning show partner and I, John Young, had the opportunity to spend a night at the Bartonville State Hospital in Bartonville. It's a facility that's been closed for years now, but it was a mental institution. Huge campus. Two official cemeteries. I think there was a third as well, from what I remember, but it was much, much smaller. And all people who worked there, inmates, I don't want to say inmates, patients. Inmates makes it sound like it was something else, but it was a hospital. So patients and then those who worked there, one huge, huge cemetery, because the facilities were open for years and years and years. Underground tunnel system and the whole deal. And again, two smaller cemeteries. Well, at least one. I think there was a third. But there was the main hospital there. Well, shortly before I left years ago, 11 years or so ago now, there was a Halloween night where they were beginning to open the facility up to the public for ghost tours. That's when that whole thing started becoming really something of note on Discovery Channel and Sci-Fi and Travel Channel, and they all had their ghost hunting shows. So they were getting that facility ready for those types of tours, and they did a media blitz, if you will. And we were allowed to spend the entire night, do whatever investigating we wanted to do. And it got towards the end of the evening. And we were told by Rob Conover, who's no longer with us, who was a medium, who had a way of connecting with spirits. And the way that Rob did it, I loved how he approached the paranormal and talking with spirits. Is he saw it as someone who was devoutly Christian as well, that he saw it as his duty, in a sense, since he had this gift from God and he truly believed it was a gift from God, that his job was to convince these spirits to go into the light, whatever the light meant for them. And the way he understood it was going to the light was accepting the fact that you're going to be judged. And at that point, you're going upstairs, you're going downstairs. That is the ultimate judging of you. Kind of like in the movie Ghost, where you see that light, and then as a spirit, unlike the movie Ghost, where if you're bad, you're dragged kicking and screaming into the light and then go into the darkness. Everyone has the choice of whether they're going to go in or not. You just don't know what's behind curtain number one. It's not until you go into the light that you receive your judgment. So for those who are, I wasn't the greatest person in the world, I could understand the want to decide to stay here. So he would walk through the building. In fact, there was one time very early on in our investigation while he was still with us, he didn't spend the whole night with us, where we were down, I believe what he said was the shower area down in the basement, and he saw a spirit that he had been trying to contact for a while, and he followed it around the bend, around the corner, and then lost it. He said, damn, I've been trying to talk to that spirit for a while now, and been trying to make headway into getting that spirit into going into the light. Well, there is one spirit on the main floor. If you walk down the main corridor where the main registration area was, and if you turn to the left, there was some rubble way down at the end of the hallway. And he told us one point early on, he said, there's a girl there that I've talked to, but she's so young, I don't think she understands exactly what's going on, and I can't get her to go in, so I just spend time talking with her. But she is a little mischievous. She's not evil in any sense, but just be careful over there because there are some loose timbers and some other things, and she has been known to play with people, and sometimes people get hurt over in that area. And she gets spooked easily, and when she does, sometimes she does things that seem aggressive. And we're like, okay. So it gets towards the end of the evening, and we don't think we have anything concrete, although I got some interesting EVPs at some point, which maybe I'll share with you, maybe when we do a Halloween show down the road. But we have like maybe 15, 20 minutes before we have to leave and get back to the station and do the show. Keep in mind, we've been up all night at that point. So we crashed after the show after 10 o'clock. But I'm leaning up against the sidewall, and I don't know how many people who were in the building ever told this story to. I know I told my morning show partner, John Young, and I may have recounted the story on the air, but I can't remember. I may have been a little bit too skeptical at the time. But I was leaning up against the sidewall, and I was actually talking out loud. I was the only person I know of in the building. I said, listen, we got to go here in a little bit. It would be great if you just gave me something tangible, something that I can say that there's no way I can say was something other than you coming out and making your presence known. So if there's anything you can think of that you can do to let me know that you're here with me right now before I have to leave in 10 minutes, please do something. And within seconds of saying that, I felt this little, like someone took two fingers and just gently pushed into the side of my elbow. I'm sorry, shoulder. And I got a little goosebumps for a second, and I sheepishly looked over my shoulder as if I was going to see someone standing there gently pressing. I wouldn't even call it a tap. It was just a gentle deep press and then a remove of what it felt like two fingers. And I looked, and there was nothing there. And I said, okay. I felt that. If that truly was what I think it may have been, because I'm not convinced, do it again. And I waited like 5 minutes that time, and it didn't happen again. As tired as I was, and I'm sure I didn't drink as much as I should have, and I know I didn't eat as much as I should have, so being probably a little hungry, definitely a little dehydrated, I chalked it up to a very subtle muscle spasm. Now, for anyone who truly believes, you're rolling your eyes right now. But again, I didn't see anything, going back to the whole Fox report from a few years ago saying that 60% of Americans swear they've seen a ghost. I have not. I have had experiences that I can't readily explain, like those EVPs, especially there's one in particular that I swear I hear a direct response to a question that's asked. And at the same time, there was an investigator with us that had the dowling rods, and their rods were crossing like you wouldn't believe. And then I got that EVP, which I listened to later. But again, I'll share that with you as we get a little bit closer to Halloween. I'm sure I'll do a Halloween special and maybe even have, I haven't had any guests on with any of these podcasts yet. To that end, if there's anyone that you would like me to talk with at some point, or anything in particular you would like me to talk about, with our 45 minutes once a week. You can email me anytime, Mike Pesto, MikePesto at me.com, or I'm so available on Facebook and Instagram or Twitter. So look for me on any of those platforms, any of that social media stuff, and chances are I'm online or will be shortly, so you can reach out to me anyway. Anything you want me to talk about with these, the whole reason that I don't have all the bells and whistles and sound effects and intros that you hear on a lot of podcasts is because I want this to be as real as possible, uncomfortably real at times. So if there are things you want me to talk about, my experiences here in radio with anyone that I have worked with to this point, or my experiences in radio when I lived in Peoria or in the Salinas Valley, or something that has nothing to do with radio whatsoever, I am open to any suggestion that you have questions about. I will give you the raw, real deal answers. And you can reach out to me anytime, Mike, M-I-K-E, Pesto, P-E-S-T-O, at me.com. That's my main email address. You can reach out anytime. If you happen to see me on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, say hi and let me know if there's something specifically you want me to talk about. So, again, I came across that little tidbit with the 60% of Americans claim to have seen ghosts, with today being Paranormal Day, and I figured I would share that with you. Something else I want to share with you, and I know I've mentioned this, but if you do plan on going to the happiest place on earth or its little cousin across the street, Disney California Adventure, you do probably want to know there are a couple things you need to know going into it. And I mention this because just this past weekend, they opened for the first time, and I've seen video of how cool it is. I don't want to ruin it for anyone, but as you walk into either park, just pay attention to the cast members, and that's all I'll say. But I saw this great article. Disneyland reopens for the first time in over a year with cheers, shorter lines, and a no-hugging rule. You can hug other people in your group. It's just they want to make sure that you know that there is no hugging of cast members. And by cast members, they do include hugging of any of the characters. The characters are there. I don't know if there are photo ops with characters, if there are meet and greets, but each character, from what I understand, has an entourage with them, especially as they're walking through the park or if they're just kind of stationed at a certain area, like if they're in Toontown or if they're in Frontierland or anywhere else they happen to be, they have an entourage. And that entourage's job is to make sure that people don't get too close. So I don't know how or if they're doing photos or anything like that. It's something to, if you're going there for that purpose, I would check ahead of time, and then depending on what they say, either make your plans or don't make your plans. I know I've mentioned previously, not only do you need tickets to get into the park, as you always have, but you also need to make reservations for when you want to go. So we as a family are going June 26th and 27th. That's a Saturday and a Sunday in June. Then we're going to take the day off, my wife and I, and the kids will be out of school at that point. We're going to take the day off Monday. So the following Tuesday, when I'm back on the air, I'll tell you everything about what I saw and experienced, and hopefully we won't be ruining anything for you. But at least to start, the parks, both of the parks, there's Disneyland and then California Adventure, is 25% capacity, and it's limited to California residents only, which my sister didn't know that. She and her husband live in Boston now. She's originally, well, like me, Chicagoland area, then moved to Salinas Valley in California, obviously, in 1984, actually 86. So I'm sure she has an old ID somewhere, but that wouldn't have gotten my brother-in-law in because he was born and raised in Boston area. Definitely in Massachusetts, so she could have gotten in with that with that ID, assuming it's not expired. But they're actually going to be in Southern California the same weekend that we're going to be there. So we'll probably have dinner at Downtown Disney, and then we'll get some sleep and then get up first thing in the morning and go to the parks. But yeah, 25% capacity, at least to start. Now, they have said as things start opening up, that is bound to change because Disney wants to make money and get back up to 100% as quickly as possible. but it's going to be a while. So even by the time mid-late June rolls around, when we're there in 2 months, basically, the most I can see them being at is at 50% capacity, but we'll see. Another reason why we're waiting to go when we're going is because Avengers Campus actually opens the weekend before we're there. So we'll get a chance to experience all of that as well. But the lines that I've seen, because I have the Disney app on my phone, the longest line I saw, I think, was 30 minutes. Now, that's nothing by Disney standards. The one bad thing is, with it being 25% capacity, there are no fast passes either. So for anyone who has been to Disney, you know, you get there first thing in the morning, you get fast passes for all the rides, and then you go to some of the other attractions that aren't as popular. You wait for your fast pass window to open, and then you get onto Guardians of the Galaxy or the Matterhorn or Space Mountain or whatever else it happens to be. So that's a few things you probably want to know before you decide to go to the happiest place on Earth and Disney's California Adventure. A couple more things, and then I want to spend the bulk of our time talking about something that happened this past weekend in coming home from Pacific Grove after spending some time with my in-laws. But I saw this after the fact on YouTube. Jimmy Kimmel's interview with Mike Lindell has both sides fired up. Yeah, the MyPillow guy. If you follow Jimmy Kimmel at all, you know he's had an ongoing war of words. It's been one-sided because it's Jimmy Kimmel's show for a while now. And the new social media site that Mike Lindell is trying to start up called Frank, which I like the name. I mean, it's you're trying to have frank conversations with people without the policing that Facebook does. So he's been spearheading that, and as he has, and making more news with some of his claims and the social media network that he's trying to start, Jimmy Kimmel has been piling on and piling on. And Jimmy, at some point, threw out, while he did this 24-hour media blitz in talking about Frank online, Mike Lindell, Jimmy invited Mike to come on his show and then jokingly said, "We'll even do the interview from a huge California king-size bed surrounded by my pillows." And Mike said, "Yes, I'll take you up on the offer. I'll even make sure everyone in the audience gets one of my pillows." So they didn't do that aspect of it, but Mike Lindell did come on the show. And my hat's off to Mike Lindell. Whether you buy into everything that he says or not, whether you're a huge fan of Jimmy Kimmel or not, just the fact that those two guys sat down. And I'll be honest, I watched the entire conversation. I watched the setup. I watched the interview. I watched it all. I didn't like the way Jimmy set up the conversation. I guess I understand it because you're a late night talk show host and your job is to get people entertained, to get them laughing. That's what you typically do. But this was something different, especially with some of the more poignant questions that Jimmy was asking Mike throughout the course of the conversation. I didn't like the tone, the demeanor, just the overall feel of the conversation. And I wish Jimmy would have sensed that earlier on to kind of feel where the conversation was going. He was going for yuck yucks at first, and then the conversation got much more serious. It didn't get heated, which was good. And to Mike Lindell's credit, it didn't get heated. There were a couple of things that Jimmy brought up that I thought, if it didn't cross the line, at least towed it. Especially at the end when Jimmy Kimmel's Mike Lindell impersonator came on. I'm convinced, by the way, if you saw the conversation, if you saw that night's episode, I'm convinced that producers were behind the scenes, that impersonator was not supposed to come out, but they sensed the conversation taking a much more serious tone than what they anticipated and decided, oh, shoot, we need to send in the clowns. Send in the Mike Lindell impersonator and lighten things up a little bit because it's getting way too heavy. It's getting heavier than we wanted. No, they shouldn't have done that. I liked where it was going. I may have mentioned this previously, but I will post things on my Facebook page that I typically don't post anything on my page to get under anyone's skin. What's the point? I just other people do. That's fine. It's your Facebook page. You can handle your page however you want. However, there are things that I do post. Like, for example, I changed my profile picture for a total of 7 days. And it was one of those pictures that had the frame that, you know, I got my vaccination and then had the little stamp in the corner. And it's a picture that I have as my profile picture on Facebook. And I have my mask on. And I was really surprised by the type of reactions that I got to that picture. And there were a couple people that I actually would message because I saw the demeanor of their posts. And I said, listen, I think this is a conversation that's better served for just the two of us. Because I don't know if you've noticed this or if you've taken the time to do this. If you post something and people react to it in a way you weren't expecting or overreacting or you're not comfortable with the way others are reacting, even if it's something that you meant to get under their skin, but they're really taking offense to it. What I will do is then, I'll message them. I'll say, listen, hey, let's talk. Because when I have those conversations with people outside of the vision of everyone else, suddenly the demeanor of the conversation changes, and it takes, you know, 5-10 minutes, depending on how irked the other person happens to be. But over time, I have noticed that it becomes a true conversation at that point. There is give and take. There is, okay, I can see now why you would have taken it that way. Let me explain what I was actually trying to do, and if I was not successful in doing that, as far as you're concerned, please tell me how you took it. And as long as the other person, and there's a friend of mine that we communicate on Facebook, Randy, quite a bit. He used to work at the radio station in our sales department at one point. And he has much different political and social views than I do. And he will at times respond to something, and at times I will respond back. And every once in a while, although we know each other, the conversation does need to go private, because there are certain things, and you, when you have a Facebook post, you appreciate, at least I do, I appreciate any type of feedback I get, whether you agree with what I posted or not. But when it turns into just me and one other person, it's like, I don't think anyone else cares to read our conversation. Let's just take this private. And we hash it out privately, and I realize where they came from, and they realize where I came from, and you come to a mutual understanding. I saw that happening with the Jimmy Kimmel, Mike Lindell conversation. I sensed that they were genuinely getting to a point where there was some understanding. At least I did with Jimmy. Mike, for the most part, was consistent through the entire thing. And I thought he went into that conversation. He was the wolf in the sheep in the lion's den. He had hostile is the wrong word. He had an audience that certainly wasn't his audience. It was Jimmy Kimmel's audience. But even with that, there were times that Jimmy Kimmel would say something that was quote-unquote funny that under normal circumstances would have gotten a laugh out of the audience. And granted, it's a much smaller audience because of COVID-19 and restrictions with audiences for late-night TV talk shows as well, that there wasn't as much of a reaction as I would have anticipated. I don't get a chance to watch Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, any of the late-night TV talk show hosts, because I'm in bed by 8 o'clock every night. I specifically watched that one after the fact because there was so much hype behind it. Again, with the Jimmy Kimmel's interview with Mike Lindell has both sides fired up. So I watched it and kind of walked away with that. I'm glad that they decided to sit down. I wish that Jimmy hadn't had the contrived TV talk show elements as a part of it. I wish it was more of a conversation, or maybe have it be just a podcast between the two where, hey, you know, I was going to have him on my show, but the conversation is, it's much more suited for something that's longer form, so we can really talk some things out, or have it start with the show and maybe have him as the last guest on and have that go into like an overtime segment. So listen, we didn't get to anything close to what I wanted to. We could spend another hour or so talking. I would like to do that. Would you like to do that? Cool. Get over to our website after the fact, and we'll have this conversation continue. Good night, everybody, and then have it continue. It was a missed opportunity. Having said that, just the fact that both decided to sit down and have that conversation, as uncomfortable as it was, especially for Mike Lindell, going into a situation where he had no idea what to expect. We need more of that. We need a heck of a lot more than that. The more we can talk, the more we can communicate, the more we can try to arrive at some common ground, we're all better off, I think, for it. You don't have to compromise who you are, but at least understand where someone else is coming from and try to genuinely put yourself in their shoes to see why it is that they look at the same exact situation that you do, but feel completely differently than you do on it. It's fun to do that. I haven't spent a lot of time talking about religion with these podcasts. I will, because it certainly is an aspect of who I am. But you read the Bible, the New Testament, and Jesus spent a heck of a lot of time with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and talking about what he saw as the laws of Moses taken to the extreme and abiding by the letter of the law, religiously speaking, as opposed to the spirit of the law, and trying to get people to wake up to realize, okay, you've been following the letter of the Ten Commandments and the laws of Moses and everything else, but haven't you put two and two together yet to realize why those laws are there the way they are and what God ultimately wants from us? He wants a communication. He wants a relationship. And I believe Jesus came when he did to open our eyes to that there were too many that were thinking, if I dot all the I's, I cross all the T's, I will get to heaven. It doesn't work that way. It's got to be what is in your heart. It's one of the reasons why that when Jesus died on the cross and he was surrounded on either side of him, there were two people, both of them, by their own admission, deserved to be up on that cross. One of them asked for his forgiveness, not because that person thought anything good was going to happen for him, but because it was in his heart to ask for it. And because Jesus saw into his heart and he knew how sincere he was, he said, "You will be with me in paradise this day." So I have some friends of mine that take that to mean, oh, so I can live my life however I want, and then I can just on my deathbed say, "I'm so sorry, Jesus, please take me." No, because again, it is what's in your heart that matters. But again, I'll spend a whole lot more time and maybe exclusively talk about my feelings about my relationship with Jesus and some things that really have changed me for the better in subsequent podcasts. But with the little bit of time that we have left, and maybe I'll get into this a little bit more next week, I want to spend some time talking about those that are no longer with us that we wish we had gotten to know better. With what I do for a living, I spend a lot of time around music. And two of my favorite groups, to varying degrees of favoritism, are REM and Vertical Horizon. I only have one album from Vertical Horizon. I don't know how many albums they have, but that one album is incredible. And a friend of mine, John Thornquist, got me into them. I met John when I worked at Sports Fan Radio Network in Las Vegas years ago. And there was just something I liked about John. We had some great candid conversations, and a lot of it about religion. Interestingly enough, in fact, from what I remember, I believe he went into the seminary at one point and was possibly going to be getting into the priesthood. But he was one of those guys that at work he put up a different front. You could tell he was more guarded. When I would spend some time with him at his place, his apartment in Las Vegas, he was definitely more him. There were still glimpses of the wall that he had up, but we had had some great conversations. And I had always wished that he and I could have been better friends. In fact, there were a couple of conversations that we had at one point where we both kind of admitted that man, if circumstances were different, we really could have been like really tight. We really could have been really good friends. And I hate saying this, but I don't know for certain. I don't believe he's with us anymore. I don't have any way of reaching out to him. His Facebook page is non-responsive. There's really nothing there. It exists, but there's no, at least the last time I checked, and I'll check again after this podcast. But there were times, like once a year or so, I would reach out to him and we would kind of touch base again, and just life just kind of got in the way of our friendship. That's a shame. And there's another friend of mine, Scotty Bruns. We went to an REM concert years ago. And Scotty, I also met through working at Sports Fan Radio Network, and he was big into music. Had a podcast at one point where we were talking about the aspects of Las Vegas where he lived that even the locals didn't know about. It was like an insider's guide to Las Vegas. And he was in the process of moving last year. And I don't know all the details. I'm a little uncomfortable asking, but he died. And I remember having that same feeling again of this is someone that I really could have, should have been closer with. But my whole point in bringing this up is the whole tried and true tomorrow isn't promised to any one of us. So if there is someone that you have been thinking about, that you know, maybe God put that person on your heart for a reason. Maybe they need to hear from you. I'll never forget the last conversation I had with Scotty when I found out about his podcast and I listened to it. That's when I was first starting to toy around with the idea of possibly doing one. And I listened to it and I called him and I talked to him and we talked briefly about what I had been up to. We hadn't talked in years and years and years. And I remember getting off the phone with him and thinking, man, that's someone I wish I could have gotten to be closer with. Oh, you know what? I'm going to do it now. It's never too late until it's too late. But then once it is too late, you're not going to see that person again until we see him afterwards. So if, again, there is anyone that in listening to this week's podcast that is now on your heart, your mind, to reach out to, do it. Don't let anything keep you from reaching out. You will be thankful for doing it, and you never know what may come out of that. At least for me personally, I don't have anywhere near the number of close friendships with people that I wish I had. And to know that I have forever missed out on at least two opportunities now to have a couple people in my life that maybe could have been like BFF tight. Nothing I can do about that now other than to make sure that if I feel that connection with someone else again, I won't take it for granted. So thank you, as always, for the time. I always try to keep these to about 45 minutes because I know there are other podcasts you like to listen to and you have your life as well. So I appreciate our time once again this week, and hopefully you will indulge me once again this next week. And if you like what you hear and you think it might be something that you know a friend of yours would appreciate as well, spread the word and let everyone know what it is that I'm trying to do here once a week. Just talk, peel back the curtain, and have genuine, raw conversations, as uncomfortable as they may be at times. Have a phenomenal week.